It is time to recap McCook City Council meeting. The second one, once again, for the month of March in our studios here this morning. Mr. Jared Muhlenkamp. How are you doing, Jared?
Doing great, Rich.
Good to have you back.
Yeah.
Do you know this guy next to you right here? You kind of know this guy a little bit.
This is Pat. Pat Bomber.
Pat. How are you?
Good morning.
He's going to carry the conversation, he said, today.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
I appreciate that.
I tell you, when we were, Miranda and I were looking outside and saw a truck and going, because usually Gene, you know, when Gene's here, Gene shows up at 8 o'clock. And he's here, and we just shoot the bull for a while and stuff like that. But he wasn't here yet. Nate hadn't got here. And then all of a sudden, I see a pickup. And, oh, my gosh, Pat's here today. He gets his radio, little radio work today.
Yeah, I was voluntold, so.
There you go. There you go. And, of course, Jared's, you know, we see him every couple of weeks.
Yeah, like every 4 weeks or something like that, 6 weeks. I don't know.
Exactly right. And he does a wonderful job.
This might be one of my last times. Well, I'll have a few more times, I guess.
Okay.
I'm not running again.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Well, you can come in. We just have to get you in here for other things.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And we can do that. We can certainly do that, Jared. We'll think of something, okay?
All right.
Kind of a light agenda last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, as far as things that aren't really specific. So we really had we had Adam Cunningham with Cunningham Properties with a bed and breakfast and a vacation rental home. Zoning was kind of the issue with how the new zoning ordinances go. So we had to have a special exception for that one. And it fit in the location. And the zoning board was okay with it. And so they recommended we approve it. And we did last night. And so, yeah, just having those opportunities for people that are coming in, you know, if the something doesn't fit for like a hotel or something like that, these are great properties to have as a asset for our community.
And that was public hearings. We kind of skipped that. That was the public hearings. Was there anything in announcements and recognitions last night?
No, there were none.
Proclamations, April 2026, Child Abuse Prevention Month. That was brought up.
Katie Beek came in, and she's the director of that, and so she talked about how these different resources in the community are available, and kind of just about child abuse and some of the different events that are going to be going on. She mentioned, you sit there and you try to write notes as fast as you can.
Right, right.
But it's like they're talking and you're trying to absorb it, and sometimes I just need to take a
mini recorder.
Yeah, a recorder, right? When I know I'm doing radio. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but she talked about there's going to be some different, I think it was April 12th or something. I can't remember the exact date on that, but I'm sure there's going to be some flyers and different stuff out. I think we have a packet, too, that the kids deliver to us, and I'm sure there's a bunch of information in there. And so I'll send it to you, Rich. Yep. You can talk about it.
Oh, we usually bring them in and talk about it during open line, something like that. Okay. It's very important.
It is very,
very, very important, you bet. Also, this week is Public Transit Week, and we know the great work that we have a great public transit around here.
And Beth came and talked to us about just the different things that are happening with that and how many miles. And again, I wrote down, she was talking about, there's
40. Wasn't it a day?
40 to 60 passengers a day.
Mm-hmm.
And someone asked about the new bus, and she said, well, it rides smooth. there's a little bit of a difficulty with wheelchair access in there, and it's a bit narrower than the older bus. And so they use the older bus if they know they're going to be picking up anyone in a wheelchair. It's more convenient that way.
And of course, you got a great driver.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Mr. Randolph does wonderful job, doesn't he?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And she talked a lot about that and how, you know, just how personable he is with the different riders and how efficient he is. And so shout out to him. I wave to him every once in a while. And he always sees me and gives me a little, you know, hey, how's it going? And so, Justin, you do a great job. Thank you for what you do.
I'm sure Justin shares all those great stories with his passengers of what a great basketball player he was back in his day, and he could shoot from 50 feet and make every one of them. I'm sure he shares those stories.
Yeah, he was a Steph Curry of
That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Yeah, exactly. Good comparison. But public transit's big around here, and we thank Beth and what they do at the senior center for what
definitely.
They do.
Yep.
You bet. We got to the public hearings, the bed and breakfast, I think. Did I skip anything there?
I don't think so.
All right, got a presentation, and here's where this is Pat's forte. Baby, right? Presentation: Steve McNulty with the State of Nebraska SRF program regarding lead service line replacement funding options. Pat, tell us about that from last night.
Well, you'd think I'd have everything about this completely memorized, but something pops up every time we hear these presentations on this stuff. Last meeting, we had Miller & Associates in. They went over more of the logistics of this lead line replacement that we have to do. It's mandated. And we thought we should probably pull in Steve McNulty. He runs the SRF program for the state of Nebraska, the drinking water, just because he's super knowledgeable about the loan funding. Mm-hmm. So we brought him in on the very last night, the very next meeting from last week, just while it's fresh in people's head. And he was just – we needed him there to hit on all the different aspects of the funding. It's very
complex,
yes. Yep. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of different ins and outs. But he talked about – it's the only option we're looking at right now is SRF. We use it a lot in what we do. But this particular for lead line is a really good option. It's whatever amount we pick – it's a 60% loan forgiveness or grant. So if it's $3 million, 60% of that's forgiven as a grant. There's an additional bonus 10% grant for mechanical potholing, which is us or a contractor going and exposing these lines to see what they are if we don't know. And then it's also 0% interest. The remainder of that is 0% interest for up to 40 years. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good perks to it. We obviously don't want to get any more loans than we have to because this is all funded. We have to pay this all back through rates. So that's what he touched on, mainly that. We had some good questions from the council, and he was able to answer them. Our steps moving forward is figure out that amount. We got to figure out what we have in the ground. We have some of it done. But we still have a lot out there in the thousands that we don't even know what the what the makeup is of those services. So that's our steps moving forward.
And that's the hard part because we have to get a loan, but we don't know what we actually need that loan to be. Mm-hmm. So right now it's like, okay, how do we pay for even this? And you talked about that a little bit, but it's just it's kind of we're learning this as we go, and we're like, what are these other communities? So we're kind of waiting to see what some of the other communities do because then that kind of helps us get a better understanding of how to go about it. But,
currently there's the bigger Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, Lincoln, Omaha. They're all taking advantage of it. Towns our size, he said, Wahoo.
Yeah, and then he said there's what, 7 or 8 that are currently have applications in that are basically our size. And so – we kind of need to get it in because it was $150 million or something like that.
I don't know the exact number, but that's –
somewhere around there is what the
pot
cheap,
is. Not cheap, is it?
Well, $150 million is what's available. That's what's available for funding for the state of Nebraska. And some smaller ones won't need it because there might – you know, a village might have 2 people in it and they can they can determine, you know, whether they can replace that. That's pretty simple to do before – was it
2037. We have to be done, and he was very clear. There will be fines. There will be all that is in place.
So if we don't do it, we're going to have to pay for it either way.
Right.
Either way, we
either we replace the lines, which is the best for the community, getting safe drinking water. If you do have those lead lines, or we're going to have to pay for it through fines, which doesn't do anyone any good. Mm-hmm. So. It's a difficult thing that we're doing right now, but it is for the safety of the community, and it is going to cost some money.
And
unfortunately,
to touch on, it's private and public, so we're working on private property homeowners also.
Yep.
So that's the other thing. We're currently responsible for the public side, but now they're putting us mm-hmm. in charge of doing the private side too, mm-hmm. which yeah. adds a whole nother twist to the whole thing.
Yeah, and there, we talked a little bit about the refusal if someone comes on a property, if they refuse the city to come on the property or the contractors in this case to go on the property. We can't do, they have to, was it four times? You have to have a...
At least two times. It has to be a certified mailing and yep. then another form. They can refuse it. If they refuse it both times, you can mark it off as we don't have to do it. Once that homeowner, if that was my house and then I turn around and sell it to you, the whole process starts over again. Mm-hmm. So it like never really goes away. It's just...
Yeah,
temporary.
It's kicking the can down yes. the road, basically.
Did he ever say they've had issues like this before where they've had people say, no, you're not coming to my property?
He didn't. I'm sure they have.
I know Kearney has.
I would say Kearney has, and I'm sure Omaha has as well. Mm-hmm. And they talked about – he talked about the different things with that and some of the complications with funding and different – you know, and then the clawback funds yep. and all the – it's like there's so many complex things that can happen with this. That it's really we're trying to learn as much as we can right now and get the best understanding so we can make the best decisions for the community.
They're pretty confident funding will be available. More funding will come up available yeah. if this all gets spent down. It's even flexible as we can – if we take out more than what we need, it's more like a line of credit. So it's not like we're stuck with that amount. It can always get pulled back and go to Omaha or somewhere mm-hmm. that really needs it. But identification is a huge thing. We definitely want to reach out to the public. We've tried a couple times. We didn't get huge responses. But I think it's really key to make the public aware that the more we know about those water services, the less it's going to cost us. Because mm-hmm. if we don't know, if we have, like currently we have 2,000 that we don't know what the makeup is, if we don't know, and it's on our inventory as unknown, they're going to take it as it's lead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that puts us to have 2,000 lead lines. And we have to do 10% a year is what we're supposed to change out.
Yeah.
So the lower that main number is, it's easier to get to that 10%, and that all just costs more money. We mm-hmm. need people to communicate with us and let us know what they have coming into their house.
Yeah, and Steve talked about Omaha currently, and they're at 10% after 3 years. Of starting this. Mm-hmm. And so they're a little bit behind it, but they also they understand that they're working towards this. It's not just something that's going to happen overnight and you're not going to be able to just come in and get those replaced. I mean, ideally you'd shut down, you know, part of a street or something to get everything taken care of and so in that area. But, yeah, there's so many things in the area we don't know what – if the whole street does need to be shut down, this or that, you know, so, and just going about that plan. So there's a lot of things in the air right now, and it's difficult to really make a decision and see, know what we need for funding. And so it's kind of like, this is put on us, but it is for safe drinking water. So it is very important. But it's there's a lot of different issues with
a lot
it,
of moving so. Parts.
Yeah. So in a block, for example, a block of homes on a just any street, block of homes, you got what, four, let's just say four on one side, four on the other side. They're all going to be lead pretty much, aren't they?
No.
That's not the case, huh?
It depends on when they were put in.
Okay.
So currently our water team went through and we started to do some potholing. We got 600 or so done.
Mm-hmm.
They just went as fast as they could. They just went up and down the streets with our vac and just potholed both sides. Currently, with the inventory we have that we turned in on private side, lead-bearing material on the private side, we show 131. Private unknown, so any from that curb to the house that we don't know is 1,927. On the public side, the city side, from the main to the curb stop, we have 407 that are lead bearing and 2,007 that are unknown.
Wow.
So really what they're looking at is the full line replacement from the water main to the house.
To the meter. So that there can be a meter in the house. We'd have to replace up to that meter.
Mm-hmm. We have to go into the house and on the other side of the meter.
Mm-hmm.
And we have currently on both of those for the full line, we have 64 right now. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we haven't done a quarter of the inventory. So it's very important. We're probably going to do a lot more public outreach, more mailers, trying to get people to to reply to us, and we may resort to door-to-door.
Right.
I mean, because that's what's going to – all this, it will definitely drive rates whenever you get a loan, right, and you have to pay that back. That's the only way we operate. Yeah. So we're going to ask for a lot of help
from
the
benefit,
public.
For your benefit, we ask that you let us know, because the more information we have, the better decisions we can make and the less money hopefully we can spend.
Yeah. So I take it this is summer. You're going to jump on this spring and summertime?
Just here shortly, we're gonna jump on the loan application, get that going.
Okay.
And then Jared asked a question last meeting about if we're going to hire it done, if we're going to do it ourselves. Realistically, for the water team, we have three guys that if they're not fixing leaks and they're flushing hydrants, they're exercising valves, they're doing everything else. Yeah. So I don't know realistically how that would work.
Yeah.
We have no choice but to hire it.
I guess my thought was if we could hire four or five people. I know it's difficult in this market to hire that many people that are they're competent in this, but at the same time, if we could hire those people to, let's say, four people for the next 10 years at – you know, make sure the numbers work, we would get 60% forgiveness. So if we have five people making decent amount of money, that would actually stay in our community. That was kind of my thought of the whole thing. I know it's easier said than done, 100%.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of issues with hiring contractors. They have to comply with all the Buy American. So he talked about pretty much all the fittings and all the lines and all that material has to basically be bought in America. He talked about the grounding rods is about the only thing that we can buy outside, because there's really no one that has grounding rods that produces them in the U.S. And then there's different laws as far as the
Davis-Bacon
wages. And it's really not the wage that's the issue there. It's more of just that there's different restrictions with how they have to
Post certain things, the amount of paperwork that goes along with all that. It's not exactly attractive to a lot of contractors to have to go through all that.
And then you have to comply with their reporting, so you have to do all this. And so you have to make sure that, you know, that is led down there or it isn't led down there, and they have to document all that to make sure that that's legit. And then so there's just a lot of different things that – and then – you know, with the contractors, everyone in Nebraska is going to be doing this, so the contractors are going to be limited. So hopefully, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out what we can do to make this work in our community. You know, it's hiring a contractor is just a small part of it. Once we get them hired, Pat's going to have to probably follow them around for the first couple weeks to make sure that they're doing everything correctly.
That's totally true. I mean, we have to turn in – every job has to have paperwork and pictures, and it's a full-time job just keeping track of the lead line replacement. So
if listeners out there going, okay, I don't know if it's lead or not.
You could scratch it.
Yep.
If it's really shiny, then it's
okay.
Lead.
Okay.
And then galvanized is also the issue because it absorbs – the lead from particles. The lines, mm-hmm. So it's also galvanized is an issue too.
Galvanized kind of rots from the inside out, tuberculates inside and gets these nodules inside it. And their theory is if lead particles are coming from the service, they get caught up in those particles or in those nodules.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to get that out of the system also.
Okay.
So
major project, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Major.
Biggest thing I've ever done probably. Yeah. So,
but if you have plastic coming in like a poly pipes, that's great.
Yep. Or copper.
Please let us know. Or copper.
Okay.
Yep. So please let the city know, Pat or anyone just saying, hey, you know, I know I have copper, I know I have poly. That helps us out.
Yep. And I welcome everybody to call up to the office. If I can't talk you through it, we'll send somebody to your house.
Right.
I mean, if we make appointments, we can come in and we'll tell you for sure what you got. So
there's a lot of homes still on the list that you've got to cover.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So. I have poly because mine was replaced.
Did you turn in your form?
I don't remember if I did or not.
I'll check when I get back.
I'll have to check with that too because I'm not sure. I have no clue on that one. So anyway, but major project, yes. More still to come on this, I'm
yep,
sure.
Yep, we'll be posting on Facebook, our website.
Sure.
I'm sure we'll be back on the radio for sure. A lot of this. So
yeah.
So yep, we just need to get the public involved.
Along with all the other projects that you're dealing with, you know, future. Yep. You bet. All right, consent agenda. Anything pulled for discussion there on the consent agenda?
I pulled the item B, the award the contract for the North Point Phase 3 paving and utilities to Paulson's of Cozad, Nebraska, in the amount of $645,894 for the base bid of $19,520 for alternate number one, that being the lowest bid. I just wanted Charlie and Amanda were there, and just wanted them to come up and kind of talk about, you know, the project and how that's progressing. There's a lot of exciting housing things going on right now in McCook, and they're making a huge dent. Amanda's doing a great job, Charlie as well, and just what it means to our community. We have so many projects going on right now, and there's a lot of excitement, and housing is a big part of that too to help us grow. And so I just wanted them to come up and kind of give a recap on that. And so that was basically it. And then item C was pulled as well. And Mayor Taylor just wanted to talk about the so this is item C was adopt the resolution number 2026-08 approving the City of McCook to join the National Purchasing Cooperative, a.k.a. Buy Board Purchasing Program, in accordance with the Joint Public Agency Act. And that the Buy Board is just basically like a buying cooperative that is part of basically like – so we're getting these hexagonal shade structures for the ballparks. Mm-hmm. And for them to be able to buy that, they have to – we have to be a part of that buyback or Buy Board cooperative for them to purchase. And then – She just asked the question of what does it cost us, and it doesn't cost us anything. And actually, they charge the contractors their fees for that, so that's how they make their money. So
you're getting your guaranteed lowest bid through those companies, so you don't have to go out to do that. You can just buy it straight from there. Know that that's the lowest bid.
Okay. Speaking of that, an update regarding the Youth Sports Complex project. I heard that I didn't have a chance to make it out there on Wednesday of last week for the rolling out the turf, but I saw not a bad turnout.
Great turn. I didn't get to come out as well, which I wish I would have, but I had to work. there's tons of things going on out there. I saw pictures and everything. It looked like there's kids out there running the bases and doing all sorts of great things, so I appreciate all that were involved in that. Just get people out there and see the turf and see how it's going to be. And I think there's a lot of people that just don't know what's going on, and so I think a lot of people are just, like, amazed at the progress that's been made. I mean, I just drove by coming up here and just seeing the progress that's been made. It's great. And we talked a little bit about the infrastructure that's been put in underneath, the things you don't see necessarily.
Right.
And there's a lot of sewer – and sewers going across the highway there on U Street, and that's huge. Yep. That's probably one of the biggest things that we're getting sewer over there, so we can, so those guys have service, and which hasn't been, you know, there before, which is huge for growth for us and for the community. And then we have the water going in, which I think most of the water is in.
Water, if it's not done, it's really close.
It's really close, and I think the paving is going to be starting soon too. So there's a lot on that. That's the infrastructure side, so hopefully we'll be able to start get some of those properties, you know, people to look at them and see, you know, how kind of everything is going to be laid out there. We're moving on that. I don't know what the exact date's going to be, but that we're going to be open, but I think it's going to be pretty soon, really. I mean, obviously we've got a long ways to go with a lot of the landscaping and stuff, but the turf's going to be done really soon on all of the fields, and just getting excited to be able to utilize that. That's going to be huge. I mean, right now we have soccer. My son has soccer practices, and we're all over, and then, you know, when the soccer games hit and we're down there at the track, it's going to be that whole line of cars right there. And I look forward to that. We can move those games out there and utilize that space. It's going to be so much better for that and so much better for the community. And just can't wait for that.
I think Nate mentioned a while back when we were talking about, because we usually every agenda, you have an update on this, yep. But he was still kind of late summer.
September, late August, early September,
give or take, or something like that. So kind of still looking at that.
Yeah. We haven't moved up the timeline.
Right.
But yeah, as far as that goes, you could probably hear, have some sort of practices or something on it at late summer or something, maybe, if the facility is safe enough to be around without construction. But I don't know if that's really in the cards, but hopefully once we get it to a point where it's safe and everything, we'll open up as soon as possible just to get people on it, because that's what it's for. So.
Still probably one more summer at the JC probably before baseball and softball
definitely
teams as well.
For sure on that. But you can start to see the progress.
Oh, without a doubt you can. You bet.
See how it's all laid out. And
lights up. The foul poles are going up on each field. That's pretty cool. You know, you're thinking, a foul pole? Yeah, a foul pole is pretty cool.
They're yellow.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's kind of neat out there. Definitely. And then when you put the homes around there where you're going to have the homes situated, that's pretty exciting.
It's going to be great. Pretty neat. And the other thing with the lighting is there's they're LEDs, and you can actually program to do different things. Like, let's just say Rich Barnett hits a bomb in softball. They can have the light.
That's never happened before in my life, by the way, too.
The lights flashing.
I usually just popped up. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Can do some pretty cool things. So we're excited for all that has to offer, and, it's going to be a huge driver in our economy, too, I think.
So I get you out there and I strike you out. I can have the lights just go on just like my...
At this point, I think you could strike me out, Rich.
Probably not. So maybe, but it's kind of cool.
Maybe not 15 years ago, but now...
Might be a better chance.
Yeah, way better chance.
One pitch, I'd throw my arm out. I guarantee I'd be lost forever. But it's cool that everything's coming about pretty good out there.
Yep.
Well. Council comments. Were anything on the council comments last night at the end?
No, not really. No, I was going to talk about the fires, but it seems like emotionally everyone's just
it's just nasty. Gosh,
not,
dang it!
Thanks all everyone involved in volunteering their time and even donating stuff to help out those first responders. That's amazing, but it's definitely a huge, bummer that this is going on right now.
We know about fires around here. We've had fires around here, and we
definitely.
Just nobody wants to see that. But it just unfortunately, you head north of us and all that stretch, Morrill, Ogallala, Gothenburg, and everything. That whole stretch, just something happened and it went up in flames.
And it's great to see all these other towns coming to help out in those areas. That's that's the Nebraska way. So that's awesome.
Next city council meeting will be coming up on April the 6th.